You're still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank, and that wraps up the first portion of this evening's program. As we now turn to the radio obituaries, the way that we do, it's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks. And you know what I like to do at the beginning? I like to remind you to think about your future and go to feedthepig.org. I also want to thank everybody yet again for all of their help in another successful radio obituary retrospective. Couldn't do it without the support of the ever-embiggening staff here at Bubbles in the Think Tank and the help from you, the listener. I appreciate every last little bit of it. So we're in the new radio obituary year, and we have been for a couple of weeks, but we're going to get tonight's episode of the radio obituary started with the initial radio obituary for David L. Lander, the American actor, voice actor, comedian, composer, musician, activist, and baseball scout. What? Of course, he's best known for his role of Andrew Squigman, also known as Squiggy, from the sitcom Laverne and Shirley from 1976 through 1982. Lander's relationship with Michael McKean, known as Lenny from Laverne and Shirley, started during acting classes at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, where they developed the characters of Lenny and Squiggy. They teamed up in the LA-based comedy ensemble The Credibility Gap with Harry Shearer and Albert Brooks, among others. Then they went on to join the ensemble cast at Laverne and Shirley. In that phase, they released the album Lenny and the Squigtones, featuring Christopher Guest on guitar, credited as Nigel Tufnell. Not the earliest appearance of that character, remarkably. They also appeared together in the 1979 Spielberg comedy 1941 and the 1980 Kurt Russell film Used Cars. But Lander appeared in numerous other television shows, including Bob Newhart, Barney Miller, Happy Days, Married with Children, Twin Peaks. So many shows. David Lander just passed away at 73. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you probably know that the first album, full-length record album, that I bought with my own money as a youngster was the Lenny and the Squigtones album. So, of course, when this news came up today, I received a flood of messages about it. I'd like to thank here from the show both our titular head of research, Marshall Frederick Stockwell Jr., and our ambassador Feelgood, Scott Cornish, certified genius, for making sure that I didn't miss it, reworked the whole show so we could fit this in, and we're going to start off with a little request from said Ambassador Feelgood as we kick off the initial radio obituary for David L. Lander right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
This song is called Night After Night, and it's about two nights in a row.
Night after night,
held you in my arms,
darling.
Night after night, I sampled all your charms.
To sleep with the same broad night after night.
Night after night.
Night after night.
Night after night. Night after night. I'll treat you like a queen.
Darling.
Night after night. 'Cause you were 17.
True love can be boring night after night.
Night after night.
Night after night.
Night after night. Night after night.
We have nothing in common, girl, you know that's a fact.
To marry a girl, I'd have to be cracked.
Night after night.
I think of you and smile.
Why? Night after night.
I'm not a fine
on the sofa night after night.
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 Recently, this station broadcast an editorial calling for an increase in safe driving. Now, speaking in opposition to that viewpoint, is Mr. Louis Delongpre, Executive Secretary of the Delongpre Institute of Editorial Reply.
Channel 2 claims that safe driving is in some way a desirable goal for society. This position completely ignores the documented value of reckless driving as a form of self-expression. If one were to believe Channel 2, safe driving is some kind of magic elixir for panacea and other ills. There is no area of modern life more highly regimented and controlled by the government than life behind the wheel. Between speed limits, mandatory headlights, and divided highways, today's driver is encased in a web of womb-like precaution. We believe he should once again be able to enjoy driving in reverse down a mountain road. That driving should once again stand for freedom, dignity, and grisly death. So let's put the free back in freeways and the cars back in causeways. Let's get rid of the hogwash and start up the car wash. Thank you.
You have just heard Louis Delongpre speaking in reply to a recent editorial. It is the position of the management that Mr. Delongpre is brain damaged.
You're gonna love them. We're talking about credibility gap, potato chips. Once you try them, you'll never be without credibility gap, potato chips. The greatest brand in all the land. That's the credibility gap.
And now, PBS, the paid broadcasting system, presents An Evening with Sly Stone. An intimate and often surprising glimpse at the private life of one of youthful America's most prominent musical families. So sit back now and meet An Evening with Sly Stone.
Oh, hi there, ladies and gentlemen. And yuhuru to my black brothers and sisters. Welcome to what I like to think of as home, although actually it's just my West Hollywood apartment. We're so glad you could drop by. I hope you're planning to stay a while. Why not join us in the library and meet some of my friends? It's straight ahead, just past the meditation cradle. Say, isn't that James Cagney right over here?
You dirty rat. You killed my brother. This is curtains for you. I brought my rod, my curtain rod.
Hi, Sly. How are you?
I suppose it's no news to anyone that this isn't really the great Jimmy Cagney.
No.
But rather my very clever friend and a brilliant singer in his own right, a man I'm proud to call George Kirby. You probably know him from the singing group George Kirby and the Family Stone 4. Right on, George.
Thank you very much, Sly. And you know I rarely hear that unless you mean it. And say, it was great seeing you the other day at the 73rd birthday party of the great Roy Wilkins.
Wasn't that something? How old is he now?
73.
My goodness, he's as old as this century. And may he live to see many more.
I'll drink to that, Sly. Say, where's the Kelso water?
You'll find it in the study, George, next to the art books.
Right on, Sly.
You bet, George. Oh, let's join Cynthia and Freddie, my real brother and sister. It looks like they're pretty deep in some fascinating conversation. Knowing them, I bet it's about music. But let's find out.
Now, don't you realize, Cynthia, that what Stradivarius was trying to prove when he made that violin was that music is art?
Of course, Freddie, but that's not the point. The aesthetic question I was raising is the crucial one of whether music is a performing art or a creative one.
Oh, I see.
Hey, Sin and Fred.
Oh, hi, Sly.
Let me interrupt for just a moment. Remember where you were. But weren't we talking the other day about the possibility that astrological signs might affect personality development in youngsters?
Well, sure, Sly. And wasn't it you who mentioned that it's important in these days of black assertiveness to strip our lives of irrelevant mumbo-jumbo?
It sure was, Sin. I think the Gershwin brothers really put the finger on it when they said, "But heaven rest us, I am not asbestos."
Oh, you know, Sly, George and Irving were very deeply into black culture long before it was on public television. You know, you couldn't write Porgy and Bess just from reading a book.
Unless, Freddie, you'd read the book Porgy, which it was based on.
Oh, touche, Sin.
Now, wait a minute, kids. Now, just to set the record straight, Porgy was originally a stage play. It was never a book.
Well, maybe so, Sly, but you will agree that Porgy and Bess was a great show.
Argue with my own sister? Not very likely, I think. See you later, kids.
Take care, Sly.
Bye-bye, Sly.
But don't you think, Sin, that when Steinway cut the piano down to 88 keys, he opened up a whole new world of music to short men?
Well, not much time left this evening, so let's slip into the gallery for just a moment.
Mr. Stone, could I ask you a question, please?
Sure, Bill. What's up?
Well, I was admiring your African art collection when I was suddenly struck by the lack of propinquity of the objet d'art. I felt a fluid forming in my eye, and I was wondering whether this mise-en-scène betrays a neo-anarchic joie de vivre, or whether it's merely some sort of a priori voodoo trick.
Bill, I'd say that's part of the mystique of the world's most misunderstood art culture. I mean, they don't call Van Gogh primitive now, do they?
Well, of course.
Do they?
Well, I guess not. You win, Sly.
Okay, Bill. Boy, that thing's loud. But then it's an antique. They're not making them like this anymore. Anyway, as you can see by the old clock on the floor, it's 10 o'clock. Well, that's our bedtime around here. We've got a big recital tomorrow, and we wouldn't want to show up late and disappoint the people. After all, they haven't got enough power as it is. So, thanks for dropping by. Hope the turtleneck-style informality didn't blow your mind this time, didn't we? And remember, this means peace. This means right on. And together, they make a bunny rabbit. And after all, isn't that what love's all about? Hey, see you later. I gotta get back to the party. Ciao.
An Evening with Sly Stone was re-recorded. While Sly's guests are in Hollywood, they stay at the Pasadena Athletic Club. Travel arrangements and promotional consideration by your Southern California Rapid Transit District, reminding you that your extra car is just a bus. Good night.
Mysterious East, home of the mysterious Easter Bunny. Even during the nighttime, the miserable sun beats down on your brains. Brr, it's hot. Endless stretches of sand. The deadly fish of the desert. Sand dabs.
Stranded in the desert in my foreign legion suit, when I ran into an Arab and he loogied on my boot. I said, "What's the matter, buddy?" He said,
"I don't like your face."
I said, "Neither did my woman. That's why I'm in this place."
Welcome to the foreign legion of love. Welcome to the foreign legion of love. Join the battalion of broken dreams.
Well, I glanced up at the weather, and it seemed to me like rain. So I opened my umbrella just to cover up my brain. But it seemed like Mother Nature had something different planned. And instead of little raindrops, I got 60 tons of sand. She said,
"Welcome to the foreign legion of love. You join the battalion of broken dreams."
We'll be right back. I was getting kind of thirsty, so I reached for my canteen. But when I screwed it open, not a drop was to be seen. So I rounded up my camel, and I asked him for a smoke. He handed me a lucky. I said, hey, Mr. Joe.
Welcome to the foreign legion of love.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank, and the post-initial radio obituary is for Alan Baczynski, the Danish jazz trumpeter and flugelhornist, also a composer, arranger, conductor, producer, and record label owner. In Bubbles in the Think Tank speak, we like to make sure that you're aware that he conducted all of Denmark's entries in the Eurovision Song Contest from the year 1979 through 1983. Alan Baczynski just passed away at 80. It's the post-initial radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
I make a date for golf, and you can bet your life it rains. I try to give a party, and the guy upstairs complains. I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing planes. Everything happens to me. I never miss a thing. I've had the measles and the mumps, and every time I play an ace, my partner always trumps. I guess I'm just the fool who never looks before he jumps. Everything happens to me. At first my heart thought you could break this jinx for me, that love would turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. I've telegraphed and phoned, sent an airmail special too. Your answer was goodbye, and there was even postage due. I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happens to me. Thank you.
My heart thought you could break this jinx for me. That love would turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. I've telegraphed and phoned, sent an email special too. Your answer was goodbye, and there was even postage due. I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happened to me.
The next radio obituary is for Ian Finkel, the adamantly self-proclaimed world's greatest xylophonist. All the others are gone now, he said, so I win by default. His path took him from the Borscht Belt resorts in the Catskills to playing with the New York Philharmonic. He also worked as a composer and musical arranger for stars like Sid Caesar, Tito Puente, and Ginger Rogers, among others. Ian Finkel just passed away at 72. We want to thank our titular head of research, Marshall Frederick Stockwell Jr., for making sure we didn't miss this one. It's the next radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Thank you.
Rabbi Saul Solomon with you, the founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. I am very excited because I will be talking to a xylophonist. No, that's not something filthy. Can you name anybody, by the way, who plays the xylophone in this day and age? Well, I can, and he's one of the best in America, one of the best in the world. His name is Ian Finkel, unusual name. The second name may be familiar to you because you have seen his father on stage, on TV, in picket fences, on Broadway and Cafe Crown, in Yiddish theater 60, 70 years ago. I'm talking about the son of Fivish Finkel, Ian Finkel. He is a musician. He is a novelist. He is with us in the neighborhood today. Hello, shalom to you, Ian.
Hello, and how are you? You got it partially correct.
Oi, what did I get wrong?
You said, what did you say? I'm one of the best.
Oh, forgive me. When did the best one just die? I don't know. How many xylophonists are there out there?
How many can you name?
And there you go. But here's the question. Is it xylophonist or xylophonist?
It doesn't matter. It's like saying flutist or flautist. It doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Every time I say flautist, somebody smacks me, so I don't use that one.
But actually, my voice is not really Jerry Lewis. My voice is a little closer. I don't know if you remember him or not. You might.
Uh-huh.
A man who is a big radio star named Fred Allen.
See? Fred Allen, with all due respect, he had kind of a more upper-crusty sort of...
My voice is closer to Fred Allen than Jerry Lewis. Nevertheless, once he found out who I was, then we became friends, and I had to eat with him, and I did his telethon many times.
Okay, so it thawed out, and it wasn't a bad situation. Actually, I would cross you with Fred Allen and Gilbert Gottfried a little bit.
Gilbert Gottfried, yeah, that's good. I met him. He came to see us perform in a show a couple of years ago. You know what? He's a lovely fella.
Okay. Oh, Gilbert, yeah, he's been on the program as well. He's a very charming, believe it or not.
All comedians are like that. They're all nuts anyway.
Well, then you have opened for and worked with other comedians. Sounds like a very odd pairing, but the once couple, Emo Phillips and Junie Tenuta. Any thoughts about the stories about them, working with them?
Not really. Judy Tenuta, I was doing a TV show. It was called Love Lab, which was a so-called ladies channel, the Lifetime channel at the time, and it was a show of all lady comedians, and she was one of them, and it was called Love Laughs, starring whoever, featuring Ian Finkel and his all-guy band.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of fun. You know, Emo, yeah, I did a couple of things with him. I did a New Year's Eve thing. I thought it was funny when he took me and my brother aside and showed us. I mean, it's not like the old comedians that you had to rehearse with for 4 hours. They had so much music. He wanted a little play on music, and he had a little keyboard that I wouldn't give you 38 cents for. He probably picked it up in Sears or something, and he played it for these two big-time so-called keyboard players. He played it, you know, like we should, like, go, oh, wow, you know. It was okay.
You have made us laugh and enjoy and think and whatever here in the neighborhood. I want to thank you ever so much, Ian Finkel, for being with us.
Thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a joy. Shalom to you and success.
All right, and all the best to you, too.
Shalom.
Thank you.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And the cleanup radio obituary is for Herman Green, the American jazz and blues sax player, best known for his work in the Memphis scene. His history was filled with iconic names and historic associations with people like Rufus Thomas, B.B. King, Lionel Hampton, and John Coltrane. Herman Green just passed away at 90. It's the cleanup radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
I'm crazy about you, baby, but I just ain't got the price. Crazy about you, baby, but I just ain't got the price. You're a high class mama, so I guess it ain't no dice. Going back home, get my old gal Sue. Going back home, get my old gal Sue. She ain't the caviar kind, just plain old kidney stew. Old kidney stew, old kidney stew is fine. Old kidney stew is fine. You can have your money, just keep your peace of mind. I love that girl, bet the schoolboy loves his pie. Yes, I love that girl, bet the schoolboy loves his pie. I'm gonna keep on loving her until the day I die. Time ain't long. Wake up, old mate. Don't you know your time ain't long? 10 more good years and your youth will all be gone. Now it ain't no fun when you're sleeping by yourself. No, it ain't no fun when you're sleeping by yourself. Well, it ain't no fun when your woman's got somebody else. So I'm going back home, get my old gal Sue.
On to the radio obituary for Andrew White, the American jazz and R&B multi-instrumentalist. He played sax, oboe, and bass guitar, but he was also a musicologist and publisher. He appeared on the jazz scene in 1960 when he appeared with Washington, D.C.'s JFK Quintet, which lasted from 61 through 63. He went on to work with Kenny Clarke, Otis Redding, McCoy Tyner, Elvin Jones, Beaver Harris, and Stevie Wonder, among many, many others. Andrew White just passed away at 78. It's his radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Got it.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And now we have the radio obituary for Anne Silvestri, the French singer-songwriter. She just passed away at 86. It's her radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Depuis que les garces du pays m'ont mise en quarantaine, j'ai récolté 40 amis, je ne sens plus mes peines. Tout le monde est bien content, les gars n'en ont pas fait autant. J'ai toujours un porte-cruche quand je vais puiser de l'eau. Et si parfois je trébuche, on me retient illico. Si je vais à la promenade, j'ai 8 chevaliers servants qui me comptent sérénades et me protègent du vent. Depuis que les garces du pays m'ont mise en quarantaine, elles tirent seules l'eau du puits, trouvant lourde la chaîne. Vilaines au bois dormant, au bout de leurs bras, point de galant. J'en ai un qui me réveille et me sert le déjeuner, un qui soigneusement veille à ce que je pose en premier le pied droit, surtout pas l'autre, car il serait obligé de supporter, bons apôtres, mes mauvaises volontés. Depuis que les garces du pays m'ont mise en quarantaine, elles peuvent bien avoir des soucis, se changer en fontaine. Pas un ne les entend autant se confier au vent. Le dimanche à la grand-messe, ils me portent mon missel. À ma place, ils se confessent, paient la quête et les chandelles. Je viens flairant l'eau bénite, mon repas est tout servi. La journée s'écoule vite et puis on me met au lit. Depuis que les garces du pays m'ont mise en quarantaine, elles ont froid au fond de leur lit et leurs rêves se traînent. Les gars sont bien contents, mon lit est chaud, mon lit est grand. Il n'est pas jusqu'à mes robes qu'ils ne taillent avec goût. Ils iraient courir le globe pour poser à mes genoux les trésors des Amériques, les produits miraculeux. Moi je règne séraphique sur mes 40 amoureux. Faut les voir les garces du pays à longueur de semaine guigner, lorgner avec envie ma jolie quarantaine. Elles ont perdu leur temps, moi je n'en ai pas fait autant. Et mon cœur en est bien content.
Hey, guess what? It's the Weasel Radio Obituary.
Hurrah! Yeah!
It's the Weasel Radio Obituary for Frank Carney. He was a co-founder of Pizza Hut along with his brother Dan. In 1958, the brothers borrowed $600 from their mother and opened a pizza restaurant in Kansas. By 1977, Pizza Hut had grown to 4,000 outlets and the brothers sold to PepsiCo for $3 million. Frank remained president and board member of Pizza Hut until 1980. Frank went on to become a franchisee of Papa John's Pizza in 1994, even doing a commercial that included a dramatization of Frank coming to a Pizza Hut stockholders meeting wearing a Papa John's apron, saying, "Sorry guys, I found better pizza." Frank Carney just passed away at 82. It's the Weasel Radio Obituary right here. Oh, with weasel content right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
I had the little weasel right where I wanted him.
No, I won't do it!
Sit down, Rocky. We're gonna do this by the book.
No, I want to eat this delicious stuffed crust pizza by the window!
Get set for Nick Danger in The Priceless Pizza.
No bad jokes. Hand over the dough, Rocky.
Never. Not on your life.
I didn't ask for the negatives. I want the pizza.
There's nothing negative about this cheese-filled crust, Nick. It packs a powerful punch!
That's because it's the new stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, Rocky. With a zesty new sauce plus bubbly hot mozzarella cheese baked in the outer edge of a tasty new crust. Just $9.99 for a large one topping.
See, Rocky, there's more to this pizza than crust.
Yes, a zesty new sauce.
And a tasty new crust.
Oh, every inch of this pizza is priceless.
And now it's mine.
No, it's mine.
Can Nick keep his hands off his large stuffed crust pizza? What about you?
Hurry, limited time offer.
Here's Rich Little for the Pizza Hut.
Oh, there you are. This is sort of a preliminary reconnaissance for the Klan, how you fix for families.
Oh, very well. You know, Pizza Hut is a family restaurant with great pizza.
Amazing. You know, the family will like that. They're tired of my cooking.
You do the cooking in your family?
Well, on the boat, you know, and in the camper, we spread vitamin C around. When you've got as many kids as I have, it's a good idea to keep them in large places. Nice place you got here. You know, perfect for a little family fiesta. Hard to find a place like that these days.
The Pizza Hut gives you something, something that you've been wanting. Something you can't get just any place.
Pizza Hut, a great place to take the family.
Have your own private table. Good food in a friendly place. A waiter with a smiling face. The Pizza Hut gives you something, something that you've been wanting. Something you can't get just any place.
Honky tonks, Dairy Queens, and 7-Elevens. mad at me.